Hey everyone, welcome to our next edition of Taking Stock. This is the third in a series that I've done with Amy Levine, talking about consumer engagement, some of the key tenets of consumer engagement, why it's such a critical imperative for consumer products organizations. And in this discussion, we're going to bring in Ryan Mulligan, who is done a lot of work around revenue growth management, and he's going to share some of his perspectives around RGM holistically. And we're going to drive some of the connection points between consumer engagement strategies and how that's a key element of success for RGM. Really fun discussion. I think you'll really enjoy it. Appreciate you listening as always, and we'll chat with you on the other side. Hey, Amy. Hey, Ryan. Welcome to Taking Stock. How you both doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good morning. Happy Friday. Amy, excited to continue the discussion around consumer engagement. Ryan, excited that you could join us and add your perspective around RGM. So, looking forward to the discussion today, as always.
Pleasure to be here.
All right. So, Amy, we're going to start with you. We have talked a great deal about consumer engagement over the recent weeks, both on this pod and offline as well. So if you can, I know we're going to dive into revenue growth management, but I thought we would level set. And if you could share a quick recap of something that I know you're super passionate about and why a solid consumer engagement strategy is really a critical imperative for consumer products companies. Let's start there.
Absolutely. I love a good conversation about consumer engagement. So as
Absolutely.
we've been talking about, it really is a foundation for an organization to think in a mindset around consumers and the consumer really being at the center of that. And a lot of times, I think there's a feeling that consumers, that's the kind of purview of your marketing team, maybe a little bit of your sales team too, but we've been talking a lot over the last couple sessions about it really is across your organization. You need everybody to be thinking about what does the consumer care about? What do they expect from your brand? What do they expect from your products? It drives everything from what kind of products you're going to put out there, what are the features and benefits of those products, what problems are you solving for that consumer? What do they expect in terms of price and promotion? So that all those things need to flow together when we think about a consumer at the center of an organization. And it includes your supply teams all the way through to your sales and marketing functions. And that's really a shift and a mindset shift for a lot of organizations to think about consumer engagement in that way.
Yeah, and then hang on to that thought around cross-functional because I want to dive into that a little bit later with you. But thanks for that perspective and that level set. And I'm going to take a little bit of a leap here, Ryan, because I want to jump into revenue growth management, which is really where we're going to focus our discussion today. And would love your perspective. You've done a lot of work around RGM over the recent months, and I would love to get your perspective on RGM holistically. But also a little bit of a slant on building upon Amy's point around consumer engagement and why the consumer also needs to be at the center of any RGM discipline within the organization.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. And I think it's important to first define what RGM is. So I think at its most basic level, RGM is interacting with your customers and the consumers in the most efficient way and profitable way possible. Now, how it relates back to consumer engagement is your consumer is ultimately the one who's keeping the lights on, paying your employees and providing your company income. So if you think about your business in three concentric circles, almost like a bullseye on a dartboard, at the very center you have your organization, and you have agency and the ability to directly control your organization. One level out, you have your suppliers and your consumers, or your customers, excuse me, and you have the ability to directly influence your customers and your suppliers, but you don't have direct agency over them. All the way out in that third layer, right, you have consumers and you have some ability to persuade your consumers, but the challenge is they're almost the most important part of this whole chain, right? Because they're ultimately the ones that are paying for the product. So by focusing on those relationships closer to the center, being more efficient, more profitable, and overall just more efficient, gives you the ability to make sure that you have everything set up in a way that's organized, profitable, and easily manageable, that puts you in the best position to then go ahead and engage with your consumers.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting perspective, Ryan. And I think having the way that I interpret that is, there are steps along the way and why and how you need to be as efficient as possible with your RGM strategy, but not losing sight of ultimately that end consumer that this is all intended for, right? The ability to ensure that you are optimizing price for that end consumer. I want to kind of get a little bit of, you mentioned cross-functional earlier, Amy, as it related to consumer engagement. And from my perspective, one of the key tenets of RGM is that it mandates cross-functional engagement, cross-functional thinking. There was an article that came across my desk recently and work that Kraft Heinz is doing, actually, where they are really building upon this agile-based strategy across all business functions, which is really kind of, I think from what they're doing is they're establishing multi-cross-functional pods that are focused on high priority opportunities, revenue growth management being one of them. And we've thought about this for years at Clarkston, but I love this mindset of thinking about kind of these strategic imperatives, which revenue growth management is, and building teams and pods, as they call them, cross-functionally to ensure that we're executing against an RGM strategy. So talk a little bit about that, Amy. Like why is it so important for companies to think outside of their functional silos and not execute in isolation? And how do you do that effectively?
Yeah, absolutely. And that cross-functionality is super critical, as we've been talking about, both to consumer engagement and to RGM. And they're almost two sides of the same coin, because, you know, you need to have everybody aligned in their thinking and then the mindset. Where ownership lives can differ by organization, and certain pieces might be owned. But we face this a lot as we talk with organizations about, defining RGM, what's in and what's out. And we may start talking about, well, what about your marketing and brand team? What about your innovation pipeline and how that process works? And some of the immediate reactions are a little bit of, well, that's not RGM. Why does that have a role here? And it really is starting by thinking about, as Ryan was talking about, we're looking at how do we create demand, right? So that's the foundation is consumers. What do they want? What do they want from us? Why does it matter? And that really is where it all begins. So you need that marketing and innovation lens there around how are we creating demands, wants, needs for our products. And then you get into how do we optimize that? How do we think about what the right channel mix, where we're going to sell it? What does the product mix look like? What price and promotion values do we set for that? And what are the key features and benefits? So it strives from there. And then you're really talking about how do you fulfill that demand? And how do we do that in a way that makes the most sense and allows for the efficiencies that you want over the demand you've created and been optimizing around? And that's where your forecast accuracy comes in. That's where your whole supply chain system is critical, to make sure that you're prioritizing getting what you need to get out the door to whom you need to get it to and what channels. So it all really does come together. And I think it's a mindset more than a specific function. And that's why cross-functionality is so important.
Yeah, and I think just building upon that, Amy, I think it ties to, and I love the way kind of Ryan walked through kind of those three steps and supplier, customer, and consumer. But just think about, you know, if ultimately what we want to do is sell product to our consumers, to our customers at the most profitable price, right? And that's ultimately what we're trying to do. Every single function plays a role in that, right? Whether it's, you know, supply chain, whether it's brand marketing, whether it's trade marketing, whether it's demand planning, everyone plays a role in that. And I think it's just that mindset, like you said, around revenue growth management that needs to exist cross-functionally. Ryan, we've done a lot of work with clients in helping them along their trade promotion management journey, right? Obviously. And in many ways, I know you've stated that RGM is really, in a lot of ways, the most advanced version of TPM, right? At the lowest level, organizations are just managing trade, and at the upper levels, it's optimizing spend, right? And there's so many different, you know, elements to that. Talk a little bit about that journey. Talk about, I would love to hear your thoughts on the relationship between trade promotion management and revenue growth management. Is it truly just the most advanced stage, or are there different elements that companies should be considering?
Yeah, I think it's somewhat of a mistake to think of RGM as just the next evolution from TPM. I think it's more of a revolution than it is just an outgrowth of TPM.
Okay.
So you can do TPM effectively and not touch on any of these cross-functional areas that Amy is talking about from the wider organization, right? So TPM is definitely the key tentpole within any successful RGM practice.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start thinking about what can we do to make sure that our product mix is that we're presenting to our customers and our consumers is the most profitable mix possible, that is traditionally outside of TPM. It's not directly tied to price and promotion. So there's other sort of key strategic considerations that are being worked on and developed in other functions around the organization that then have to be woven into that financial and analytical discipline that you've built up through your years of successfully managing TPM to really truly create an effective RGM practice.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective, certainly. But I like the way you stated that, you know, TPM still is a key, I think you said tent in the pole, right?
Yeah, it's a key tent.
Yeah, and there's, you know, foundational things you need to be doing. I want to talk a little bit about pricing, Amy, if we can. So obviously, COVID had so many different impacts on the world, both during COVID and now in the post-COVID world that we're living in. But I would think number one or two on any CEO's desk as it relates to managing a CPG organization is around pricing, right? Companies have been able to take price at retail, kind of multiple price activation strategies that are being deployed within CPG companies. Started to get a lot more resistance. I'm hearing a lot of stories from our clients that some of the prices that they've been able to take at retail were starting to get pushed back more and more in recent months. So with so many companies struggling with this right now, they're struggling with how to identify new baselines based upon a post-COVID world and struggling with the ability to activate price increases. Talk about RGM and how an RGM strategy helps support some of the pricing strategies that are needed.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think you're spot on that we've, you know, we're hearing organizations that have taken price increases over the last couple of years when they haven't, some even for like a decade. So there's a lot of pent up opportunity that we've seen taken advantage of over the last couple of years. But we're definitely hitting that place where that's not as possible. And I think it requires more due diligence to look all across your all across the supply chain to understand where you can gain efficiencies, what are the optimizations that you can do in order to still get to the margin and profit goals and revenue goals that you're looking for. And so that's where our GM can really come in, instead of focusing purely on how do we activate a price increase. And that's a way that a lot of organizations kind of start down the RGM path, is, oh, we need to talk about pricing. And it really is just the beginning as you start to add in additional layers to think about, you know, what your price is today, what it should be at. Again, relating that back to your positioning of your brand and your products and your consumer expectations. That's where pricing is so critical, to bring in that consumer piece, because there are oftentimes price cliffs for consumers in their minds. And you need to understand those and be able to activate against those. If you're going to go above that cliff, you've got to have features and benefits that those consumers want. So we're hearing more and more about the role of price pack architecture plays in thinking about how all those pieces come together. And again, it's much more complicated than just we're going to take a price increase, and thinking about it much more holistically and understanding where you've got room to move and where you've hit up against some of those barriers, and how you gain the efficiencies you need to get there.
Yeah, would love either of your perspectives on what are some of the, I want to Ryan get in a minute, just how do we quantify success and what are some metrics, but I wanted to get your all's perspective on either Amy or Ryan around what are some of the kind of core capabilities that organizations need. I'm talking, you know, things in and around, you know, is success around RGM rooted in data? Is success around RGM rooted in, you know, technology? Is success in, is it rooted in analytics and analytical capabilities? Is it kind of some of the mindset that you referenced, Amy, earlier? Or is it truly a combination of all those things? We'd love your perspectives on that.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion, Steve, that success in RGM is your ability to bring all of those things together in a meaningful and efficient way.
Okay.
It's the ability to perform analytics and then not only be able to maybe predict what's going to happen or describe what is happening to your business, but then take those learnings, disseminate them to the larger organization, and then act upon it. And the latter part is actually, in a lot of ways, from what we've seen in the market, much more difficult. You know, we've seen a lot of organizations that have very excellent data capabilities, but the insights kind of get lost because they're not reaching the individuals that really need them. And then on the opposite side, we've also seen clients where they have the data, but they haven't been able to get the technology in place to produce the insights that they need. So it's really about being able to do everything well in a way that is integrated and is moving essentially in the same direction.
Yeah. Amy, any additional thoughts around that?
I would chime in to say, I think it really starts for an organization with that mindset and understanding how you're defining it, what it means to you. And it's going to be a little bit different at every organization, and that's okay. But we talk about RGM as it's a journey, not a destination, right? So you're not going to unpack a box, set up a software, and bing, you've got RGM, because it really starts at that mindset level. And then it's unpacking how do you, what are the tools and technologies that you need to in order to get the information that you need to have to think about this? And then how do you get to those insights and analytics so you can make decisions and then execute against those decisions? So it really is a process that requires thinking first about the people in your organization. What are the mindsets that they have? How do we get everybody thinking and defining things in the same way? And then putting into place those processes and using technology in order to help with that. But the RGM itself is not just a technology or a data configuration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Appreciate both of those perspectives. Ryan, I wanted to perhaps close with your perspective around measuring success, all right? And I guess first, from your perspective, are organizations aligned on how you should be measuring success around RGM? Are they driving the value that's intended? And then what are some key metrics, right, that companies should have in place to know, you know, what's working and this discipline, this mindset, these processes are driving the value intended?
Yeah, so defining those metrics is something that's going to be a key part of this your overall strategic approach to RGM that Amy was just talking about, right? But I think at the most basic level, it's what is your bottom line doing, and what is your bottom line doing relative to your top line? What is your bottom line doing relative to your costs? Now, the specific metrics that your organization uses to track all of those sort of larger macro metrics are going to depend on your strategic objectives and where you want to go. But I think one of the key things that I'm always interested in learning is, you know, how profitable are your individual products and customers? And then what is the mix of customer and product profitability? Are your most profitable customers also selling your most profitable products? Where are there opportunities to perhaps persuade your less profitable customers to sell more profitable products? So I think that's really where it gets interesting. And, you know, that's where the fun is. When you finally get to this end state where you have those analytics, you have the technology in place, and you're really able to act on those insights.
Yeah, I think I've talked about this a lot through the years. I think ultimately one of the key tenets to success is the ability for manufacturers to partner with retail customers to be able to activate, you know, consumer value. And how is that happening, and how are those two parties coming together? When it's working in harmony and it's truly driven on what is the most effective way to deliver products to consumers at the right price, it works great. But often there is a very contentious relationship that needs to be worked through. And again, it ties back to Ryan, your visual and those three steps that you shared earlier.
Yeah, and I think it's all about having the right tools at each step of that journey.
So yeah, absolutely.
Having the insights to influence your customers, and then, you know, having the perspective on your consumers to figure out what it is that they're looking for and what it is that they want, so you can ultimately, put the right things in the market that are ultimately going to satisfy them. Yeah.
So there's a ton to unpack here. I know we're just kind of dipping our toes in the topics around RGM, but I appreciate your all's perspective. I love kind of being able to make the transition from consumer engagement and talk about it from an RGM perspective. Amy, appreciate all of the perspective that you've shared over the last three discussions we've had. Ryan, really appreciate you jumping in and sharing your thoughts around RGM specifically. So thank you both very much for the conversation. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, glad we could do it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Take care.
Bye. All right. Thanks, Amy and Ryan, for a great discussion. And thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, really enjoyed the perspective from Amy over this series, and Ryan jumping in and sharing some of his perspectives around revenue growth management. This is top two or three initiative for consumer products executives, and it's something that they need to get right. But I think being able to define it, being able to understand what are some of the key capabilities for success, as we talked about at the end of the discussion, and how do we know if we're doing this successfully? And like we talked about, it all ties back to the consumer. So thanks again for the discussion, Amy and Ryan. Thanks everyone for listening. We've got some cool topics coming up. I believe our next session is going to be focused on AI within consumer products and what that means, and how companies could be deploying different AI capabilities to drive success. So thanks as always, and we'll catch up with y'all soon.